to the NFL. Just a quick take on the Panthers and what they're looking for. They're looking for better out of Ikem Ekwonu and the rest of the offensive line. And I remember, as I was watching the game on Friday night, I remembered all of the people who said, I'm not sure Ikem Ekwonu is a tackle. He might just be a guard. He struggles in pass protection. Great run blocker. So as we bring in Will Brinson, CBSSports.com Cover 3 podcast.
That's Chip Patterson.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I got the whole thing. There's a number involved. It's a pick six. Hey. You're pick six. Look, that's twice as good as three.
That's right. Chip is half the podcaster I am. That's why he's Cover 3 and I'm pick 6. No. We just ran out of generic football terms, so we slapped those up there. And of course, I'm always down to promote any member of the CBS Sports podcast family and my good friend Chip,
yes.
who deserves infinite credit for the way that he stewards that college football
he
podcast.
He does. He has to shepherd them. So
yeah.
I'm
really more of a sheep, or like a goat,
a lamb.
Chip's a shepherd. Yeah,
you're right.
Exactly.
Well, you have a lot of hair. So as I was watching the game Friday, that's what was popping into my head. I remembered all the people who told me that Ikem was maybe more of a guard than a tackle. I don't believe that to be true, and I hope it's not true. But boy, that was not a good showing against the Giants. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I mean, I think, you know, a couple of things, and I actually did Charlotte radio this morning too, all over this great state of North Carolina, is Will Brinson on this lovely.
You have covered all
corners
today.
That's right. But, you know, talking to those guys down there, and I think it's worth pointing out the context with which we're examining, Ikem and that Panthers offensive line in the preseason, and which is to say that one, I think, like, it's the preseason, and so coaches are trying to do different things with different units and on different teams. For instance, the Jets, who the Panthers played in the first week of the preseason, are a really good defensive pass rush. And they'd already played one game, and they came in there, and on Bryce Young's first dropback, they ran a stunt.
Right.
And the Panthers were not prepared to block a stunt. And then Ikem looks extremely confused by the stunt. Now, that doesn't mean that he's unable as a blocker in pass protection to recognize a stunt and to block that. It probably is more likely that, and look, the line was terrible in that game, but the point is, it's probably more likely that they weren't being coached to prep for that at all, right? Because they're thinking, they're just thinking we're going to drop back and block and just work on our pass sets, et cetera, et cetera. And then with the Giants, you're talking about Wink Martindale, who is probably the most aggressive blitzer, of all defensive coordinators in the last, like, 10 to 15 years. Like, you have to go back to, like, Jim Johnson, the late great Jim Johnson with the Eagles, to find somebody who's as aggressive. And Don Martindale, also old and scrappy, and what a scrappy, scruffy, and like a, you know, he'd like some 25-year-old would think they could get a fight with Don Martindale.
Oh, no, he wouldn't do that.
Yeah, right. He'd like have him down on the ground in like 5 seconds.
Old man strength.
Exactly. Major league old man strength. I'm sure he has like a barbed wire tattoo or something too. But he is. He's aggressive in the preseason. He's not afraid to blitz and to be aggressive, and he wants to do that. He just didn't really care. And so I think the opponents matter for the Panthers. I think, you know, the fact that you have Bryce Young in there, and when you have Bryce Young, you're going to want to let him throw. So, like, it's not like they're just running their – like, this is just their offense. You know, I think it's more like – you know, they're not trying to run the ball. They're trying to let Bryce Young throw when he's in there with those first team reps. And so I think there are variable factors in there that should allow people to not completely freak out. But just like a lot of teams in the NFL, just like every team in the NFL, if this offensive line is as problematic as it showed in the preseason, and it's a weakness for the Panthers, this is not a playoff team, and this is not a division winner. This is more like a 5-6-7 win team.
Yeah, that is. There's no question about that. I'm going to move on, but I watched Ikem Ekwonu have only one guy to his outside, Kayvon Thibodeau, and for some reason, Ekwonu looked inside, and I can't figure out why. There was nobody to block inside, and after a split second, there was nobody to block outside because Thibodeau was already at
And Thibodeau's beefed up, man, and he's a really, like, we're talking about two teams with pretty good pass rushes, Giants secondary, second level pass rush is not nearly as good as the Jets. Like, Bryce Huff torched Icky at one point during that first week, and he's, like, he could start for a lot of teams. He's like the Jets, like, fourth or fifth pass rusher.
Jets have a very good defensive line and very good pass rushers without having necessarily stars, right? But on the defensive line, they are great. Let me ask you this. I can't decide if the 49ers are, and maybe this is Kyle Shanahan, are they horrible at the draft or are they great at the draft? Because in 1 year, they trade two future first round picks and a third to go from 12 to 3 to draft Trey Lance. But the next year, they take Brock Purdy with the very last pick in the draft. Right now, Purdy's going to be the starter. Sam ever-loving Darnold is going to be the backup. And Trey Lance, who they gave up multiple draft first-round picks for, has no place to go. They might even trade him. What are they doing?
Well, if you want to make it sound worse,
why not? I'm here for that.
The Dolphins, with those three picks that they got in that swap, used the first one to draft Jalen Waddle.
Right.
And then traded another one for Tyreek Hill and another one for Bradley Chubb. So
sounds good.
You could have a third string quarterback who's attempted 540 passes since high school, or you could have Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and Bradley Chubb. I don't know, the Niners actually couldn't. I don't know what would happen if they had Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, because, like, that's a literal Pro Bowl team with Debo Samuel, George Kittle, Christian. Like, you'd have too much. Clearly they figured out a way to do it. But, yeah, I think it's.
Hey, Carolina Panthers fans, Chris Lee and Dennis Cox here.
We're excited to offer you all the inside information on your team with the newest member of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network, Panthers Playbook.
Twice a week, we'll keep you updated on your Carolina Panthers. We're talking about locker room insight, exclusive interviews, and of course, in-depth looks at all of the Panthers' wins.
Touchdown, Carolina!
Panthers Playbook. Download and subscribe today at WRELSportsFan.com or wherever you discover your favorite podcasts.
What's interesting about this, I guess, like, maybe even, I mean, quasi, I guess it's ironic. I don't know. I've been getting yelled at for my use of irony lately, so I don't want to do that. But the 49ers, when they made that move, this has not been said, but I mean, it's sort of understated, and Mike Shanahan, Kyle's dad, did reference it. Like, Kyle's never said it, but Mike said it. It's like, Kyle realized that to win Super Bowls, you, like, with the Shanahan system, you can win because it's such a brilliant, it's not like insanely over complex, but it's such a brilliantly designed offensive system that you can win without an elite quarterback and certainly with replaceable running backs. Like, they do it all the time. But Mike realized and told, and parted this on Kyle too, that, like, after Elway retired, Mike has struggled to win. He's like, I just win with Jake Plummer. Right. And, you know, he did. Right. Like, he won plenty of games, but, like, he's like, son, like, literal, my son, you need to get a quarterback. And so they believe that Trey Lance possessed a combination of tools with both his legs and his arms to give up all that draft capital and go get him. They would be better off if they just stayed put and drafted Mac Jones. You know, like, Mac Jones would. Oh, dude, Mac Jones would be perfect at that system. Point guard, distributor, et cetera,
et cetera. He'd be Jimmy Garoppolo. They could have just kept Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is they pretty much have to win a Super Bowl with Brock Purdy to justify the Trey Lance deal not being a total disaster.
No. The deal is a total disaster. Brock Purdy is looking down at the ground and finding a bag of $100 bills. Okay. That's all that is. That's stupid luck. Because if they thought that Brock Purdy was anything, they wouldn't have drafted him in the seventh round. They would have taken him, like, in the fourth round.
Well, that's the old Tom Brady argument, too. It's like, nobody thought Tom Brady was going to be any good. That's why he fell in the sixth round. Like,
exactly.
Like, the Patriots, and people are like, oh, the six teams that drafted quarterbacks that passed on Tom Brady. It's like, the Patriots passed on him, like, seven times.
Yeah, if they drafted him in the sixth round, however many picks they made before that, that's how many times they also passed on Tom Brady. All right, real quick, I've got about 60 seconds left. What's the end game here with the Colts and Jonathan Taylor? They put a deadline on him finding a trade destination. This whole thing has been kind of gross from Jim Irsay mocking running backs for speaking out against the system to now what the Colts are doing with Taylor.
I actually got in a big beef with a bunch of Colts fans last night on Twitter. I hadn't had a good Twitter beef in a while. One of these clowns, like this guy's like, look at this loser. And he like Googled like Will Brinson height. And I was like, look, dude, like I hate to break it to you, but if you're spending your Wednesday evening Googling Will Brinson height, you're the biggest loser on the planet. Cause like I haven't thought about how tall I am in 20 years. I know I'm not tall. I mean, I know I'm just probably like an average sized middle-aged dude, but like if you're Googling Will Brinson height, you are the biggest clown on planet Earth. Maybe next to Jim Irsay, who just won't shut his mouth about anything. I think this is Irsay is posturing a lot here and just trying. He's too involved in all these football matters. And it's just sort of become a thing where he's just got hit. He's in the kitchen and he's banging pots and pans around, and it's causing a problem for that front office and for that franchise.
I'm Googling Will Brinson height. It doesn't.
It says I'm 5'7", but the great state of North Carolina adamantly insists that I am 5'9 on my driver's license.
It does. It does say he is a man of average stature and stands at a height of 5'7". You're taller than that.
The great state of North Carolina says I'm 5'9". Yeah. They wouldn't lie on my driver's license, even if I would lie to them when I was 16 years old.
I think it says that I'm also 5'9", but
By the way, before I go, I'm checking. I don't know what's happening here on the video thing, but I will point out
5'7" on my driver's license.
If there was a Ryder Cup style battle between a bunch of Raleigh cowards and a bunch of high standing good citizens from outside of the city, natives from outside of the city going on, I promise you that the people from outside of the city will prevail if that were to happen.
Okay. Now, I feel used.
Shout out Team S.
I feel used. All right, Will. Go hit him straight, man. I'll talk to you later.
See you, buddy.
You got it. Will Brinson here on the Adam Gold Show. It is 5'7". If you Google Will Brinson height, you get his height and a much younger picture of Will Brinson.
Alarm. Take MitoCue. Run, shower, breakfast, kids to school, work time, home time, dinner time, fun time, bedtime. Whew. When you're leading a full life, MitoCue can make all the difference. MitoCue is a science-based cell health supplement that helps your trillions of cells generate renewable daily energy. Because energy is renewable. Time is not. Discover more at MitoQ.com. That's MitoQ.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.